Okay, so we're on this here now, everybody. The title today's shiur is our mission in this world is on a need to know basis. So we'll explain that a little later, and that will become clear. But there's a part of this week's parsha which talks about this kind of experience that you know that something's expected of you, but you don't necessarily know when, how you'll be called on. So let's take a look at the psukim in Perek Yud Pasuk Vav. Moshe informs Paro. He says to him, "Hold on a second. Got to get to the right place here." He says, "The gam b'nenu yelech imanu, also our cattle will go with us. Both bishara parza, not a hoof print will be left. Kimimenu nikach will take from all of them lavodas Hashem, to serve Hashem, elokeinu. Ba'anachnu lo meida, and we will not know, ma'na avodas Hashem, how to serve Hashem, ad bo'enu shama, until we get there." So Rashi says, "Pashpshat lo neda manavod." We won't know how we will serve Hashem. Kama tichbara avoda, how great the avoda will be. Shem yishal mimeno yosei mashiyesh biyadenu. Maybe Hashem will ask for more than we have, and that's why he's telling Paro that we have to take everything with us. Ibn Ezra adds in that he says here, We won't know what species Hashem wants us to offer as sacrifice. So we have to take it all. Our Achayim goes even further and explains even why they had to take gold and silver and behemoths that they wouldn't normally be makriv. Our Achayim says, "Sha'af behemoths she'enim ru'im makriv," even animals that one does not consider fit for bringing as a korban, v'af kesef v'zav, and even gold and silver. We need to take that too. Shulai tzrichim liknos od zvachim. Maybe we will need to buy more behemoths to sacrifice. Olivnos binyonim lavon Hashem, or to build structures, a mizbeach, a beis hamikdash, who knows? Mefish ein kesh leidem ayir to Hashem, because there is no end. There is no end to know what Hashem will want, and the gam in a derech eretz lishal kodem, and it wouldn't be derech eretz to ask Hashem how He wants us to serve Him. So therefore, the answer is to Paro that we're going to take everything because we don't know what we'll need. And in meeting these psukim, it's hard not to consider that there might be a message for the generations, that this is not just a specific conversation that Moshe is having with Paro, but it's saying something about the way of Avodas Hashem. And it seems to be saying that you never really know what Hashem is going to want. I mean, of course, we have mitzvahs, but in terms of one's personal life, and in terms of their nisyonos and their challenges, you never really know what your moment is and what the need is going to be and in what way you'll have to stand up and be counted and bring forward your particular talents, ability to be only b'nisayon, to stand up when you're tested. And so I thought that we should spend a couple of minutes looking at some sources in Chazal regarding this, both the idea of nisyonos, of challenges, and also the idea that you don't really know what the challenge is, and oftentimes it takes a lot of wisdom to know what to do, because sometimes the opposite behavior may be required. One person might have to behave one way in the face of a challenge, and another person behave in a different way. And I'll elaborate on that as we go along. So we're all familiar with the psukim in Kriyat Shema, where it says, right? We all have Torah, Hashem, and you should love Hashem, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol mevadecha. So levavcha is right, the drash is that shnei yitzarecha, yitzatov, yitzara. What does that mean? Somehow you have to serve Hashem even with the yitzahara. And then b'chol nafshecha, it means with all your nefesh. Chazal say, that means that a few notos nafshecha, right? That there are mitzvahs that one has to do, even to martyr themselves. And there are mitzvahs that are yaharig val yavar. And then, if it says that, so what's the chol me'odecha, right? Me'odecha means everything that you have. From the word me'od, from much, it means, you know, all your money. So, Chazal say, yes, l'cha adam. You can find this in Rashi over there on the Pasuk. It's in Eschanan. I think it's Devarim Perek Vav. So Rashi says, quoting Chazal, you have a person whose money is even more important than his own body. And that's why it says, with everything that you have, because for some people, it's a bigger nisayon to give up their money than to suffer. For other people, to suffer physically is a bigger nisayon than to give up money. But that's exactly the point, right? That each person might have a different nisayon. And it's not clear what they're going to need to do until they need to do it. So for one person, the nisayon could be that they have to give up a great financial loss in order to be omer b'nisayon, in order to withstand a certain test. And for another person, it could be great pain. So, and for the third person, which we'll talk about that a little bit later, right, it says, even b'shnei yitzarecha, that somehow the person has to understand the application of his yitzahara and yitzhar tov. And a person, perhaps could live his whole life, a person perhaps could live his whole life and only have one time where they really fulfill their whole purpose. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that talks about Yesh Karnoi Lamo B'Shal Achas. A person could acquire his Olam Haba at one moment. In fact, when Rebbe was meditating on this, and it was based on a true story where somebody was able to get Olam Haba in one great moment, in one moment of decisive action. Rebbe cried because you spend your whole life trying to do the right thing, a whole life's worth of work, and you might not get there. And here, this one person in that particular story, in one moment, was Karnoi Lamo. He achieved Olam Haba. So it's not only that we don't know what Hashem is going to want from us, and we might only find out right at the moment, but it might be that our whole lives could only be for a single moment. That might be the whole point. So this is very complicated and very challenging. Let's take a look also in the Pele Yoetz under the heading of Nisayon, he elaborates on something that we find with Chazal too, and he says that basically, you know, everybody has a Nisayon. And he goes on to say, Al Kol Panim, nevertheless, Ein Lecha Adam She'ein Menasa Osa Kosh Baruch Hu, there is no person who is not tested by Hashem. Ashir Ba'ashro, the wealthy person is tested with his wealth, because Even though there's obviously a lot of advantages to the power of being wealthy and the control that one has, the illusion of control that one has over their lives when they have tremendous financial resources, it's still an issue because it's hard to remain faithful under those circumstances. But Ani Ba'anyo, a poor person is tested with his poverty. Well, that's obvious, right? The Chacham B'Chachmoso, a wise person, could be tested with his wisdom because it can make him arrogant or he could get twisted in his thinking. And we saw We saw the Gemara in Sukkah and then days a couple of weeks ago about Paul Gabon and Chavir Yitzhak Adol. Remember, the greater you are, the greater Yitzhak is. So we have that. He goes on to say, Bal Yisurin Bi Yisura, a person that's suffering. Obviously, the suffering is a great Nisayan. Soker B'maso Matno, a merchant is tested in his business dealings. Can he be honest? Bal Omanus Tavonoso, a professional, is tested in his ability that he should do it, I suppose, faithfully and properly. V'chol Yom, V'chol Eitz, V'chol Rega, every day, every time, every moment. Oman B'nisayan, Shiyitzimus Gabramus Chadish Olav, that the Yitzhara gets strong and becomes renewed. Shiyasa Avera, perhaps to cause him to do an Avera. Or you should violate a mitzvah or avoid, fail to do a mitzvah in thought, in word, in deed. He has to be the gibor that overcomes his yetzahara. And this is where he drives at this point about balance. He goes on to say that he needs to know kol dover tov kedas malasas. Person has to understand exactly how to behave, how to measure his actions. Shetzarek chizuk rav, it requires great strength. Barov ozus atzumos, with a lot of self-awareness and self-strength. So the Peliot is saying over here, you know, that basically everybody in every circumstance is challenged, and each person needs to have great strength and great insight to know when that is. So let me give you an interesting example. This we find in the Mishnah in Brachos in Perek Beis of what would seem to be a contradictory behavior. So, some of you may be familiar, it's Mishnah and Brachos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hay. The Mishnah talks about the idea of Osu B'mitzvah, Kotu B'mitzvah, that if you're involved in a mitzvah, in one mitzvah, let's say, and you're involved, and it takes up your thinking, then you're exempted from another mitzvah. So on the basis of that, the Mishnah tells us that a chasen part of the Kriya Shema, but my la rishon, Agnat Say Shabbos and Loas Amayis. And the bottom line is that the chasen whose torah, whose thoughts are preoccupied with the Bialas mitzvah that he has to perform and consummate his marriage, there's a discussion amongst the Rishonim what exactly his thoughts are preoccupied with, but wherever it is, he's very preoccupied, and the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to consummate the marriage. And so he's part of some Kriya Shema. Because before this non-Kriya Shema comes, he already has the mitzvah of consummating the marriage. And therefore he's exempt. But mitzvah Rebbe Gamliel, but there's a story about Rebbe Gamliel, Shekar B'Layla Rishon Shenasa. He read Kriya Shema, he said Kriya Shema on the night that he got married. Amalo Tamidov, his student said to him, Loli Matena Rabbeinu Shechasan Patan Mikriya Shema B'Layla Rishon, did you not teach us, our master, that the Chasan is Patan from Kriya Shema on the first night? Amalo Ham, he said to them, Ein Yishamei Lechem Levat Limeni Malcho Shemaim Afilo Shoachas, I can't listen to you to abstain from the mitzvah of accepting the yoke of heaven, even one moment. He can't do it. He said, for me, to not say Kriya Shema would be an impossibility. Interesting shot. Some people say that he meant that since he's always in the Medayik in the words, he always felt all Malchus Shemayim on him. So for him not to say Kriya Shema would have been an interruption. The regular person, and not always feeling all Malchus Shemayim on them, so they have a different response. Anyway, whatever the case may be, one could say the Rebbe Gamliel was, let's put quotation marks around it, machmir. He was machmir on himself, right? He had a very strict moral code of conduct. And so he refused to allow himself an exemption from Kriya Shema, even though technically oaths are the mitzvah, parts of the mitzvah, and even though the halakha and what he's advised with Talmidim, in fact, later on in another Mishnah, the Mishnah says that even though a chassan parts from Kriya Shema, if you want to voluntarily read Kriya Shema, you can do so. But Rav Gamaliel says, lo kol los litos hashem yito. Not everybody who thinks they're so ay-ay-ay and wants to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim should dare to do so when they're osa b'mitzvah. See, he wasn't a big fan of people deciding to be machmer unilaterally. Now, halacha l'maaseh, we say since we don't have tavan anyway, you might as well say Kriya Shema, that we don't hold from this halacha l'maaseh. But the point is that Rav Gamaliel was machmer himself, but for others he felt that they were not up to try to do two things at the same time. You do two things at the same time, you do nothing. So better person should be involved in the mitzvah of consummating their marriage and not focus on the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. But again, for lack of a better word, we would describe Rav Gamaliel as a machmir, that he had a very strong moral code and was strict on himself and would not allow himself to be exempted from Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. But then we have a funny thing. In the next Mishnah, in Parak Beis over there in Brachos, it says, Brachos Laila, there's a Maisa that Rav Gamaliel bathed himself on the night that his wife died. Now, an Avel really should be a potter. Maybe an Avel should not be allowed to bathe. It's one of the things an Avel is not allowed to do. So they're not distracted from their Avelis. So if Talmidim asked him, Amalot Talmidim, Lo Natein Rabbeinu Shavol Asa Lerchotz, did our master not teach us an Avel forbidden today? Amalahem, he said to them, Eini Kishar Kolodim, I'm not like other people. Yistanis Ani, I'm a person with very delicate, sensitivities. And the Mepharshim explained that the Pshat is that an Istanis, a person who has extremely delicate sensitivities, if they don't bathe, they suffer physically. They feel ill. They feel ill from not bathing. So the point of the Azalas, the point of not bathing on the Azalas, was not to cause inui, it was not to cause suffering. Like, let's say, shall we say, for argument's sake on Yom Kippur, one of the Chamishi Inuyim, is not to bathe, right? For argument's sake, let us say, and I think that's a discussion too, but let us say that the purpose of the non-bathing on Yom Kippur, right, is there should be a little suffering, that the person should be in some ways aware of some kind of pain to help arouse a mindset of tshuva. Okay, so even Rav Gamaliel, even Nisanis is not going to bathe on Yom Kippur. But in terms of Avelis, the whole point is not to be distracted by distractions, not to suffer per se, just not to be distracted. The Avel's already suffering. The Avel's miserable because they suffered a loss. So Rabban Gamaliel says that's the point. The point is not for me to suffer. I'm an Istanis. I'm an unusually sensitive and delicate nature. If I don't bathe, I'm going to suffer. Parenthetically. Now you have to wonder about us today, because certainly we're used to bathing every day. You know, one has to wonder whether when we hold back from, if we hold back from bathing, would it be beyond just not distraction, but would be painful. But anyway, that's a different halacha l'maisa question that people can ask if they're in such a situation, or how they feel during the 9 days, etc. But going back to this case over here, so we have what seems to be dichotomous behavior on Rav Gamaliel's part, right? On the one hand, he's very machmer on himself, and he says that I'm not going to exempt myself from Kriya Shema, even though I'm involved in the mitzvah, and I'm a chassan. And then on the other hand, perplexingly, right? All of a sudden, he cuts himself some slack and says, "Istinus ani, I have a sensitive physical nature. I'm delicate. I can't withstand the pain of not bathing." Seems contradictory, but it's not. See, and that's exactly the point. And that's what we're saying about Nisayon, right? That a person really has to understand what they're supposed to do and when they're supposed to do it. And apparently, Rabbi Gamliel shots up in himself that in terms of focusing on Kabbalah for Malchus Shemayim, even though he was osik in the tirda of consummating his marriage, this he was able to do without compromise. He was able to both fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema and fulfill the mitzvah of consummating his marriage, and there was no contradiction. He knew that he could do both. He cautions, Lo kol rotzu yito v'shem yito. Nobody should attempt this. You know, this is not meant for amateurs. Nobody should attempt this at home. You know, that other people can't necessarily do this, but he was able to do this. But then on the other hand, he shouts up that it was counterproductive in terms of his availus to cause himself physical suffering that was irrelevant. It was an irrelevant kind of pain that was not necessary. It was not the intention of Chazal when they forbade bathing to cause suffering. And this would make him physically ill. So he decided not to do it. And that's what, you know, when you get back to the Chazal, by the Cholavavcha is the Shnei Yitzarecha, Yitzitov and Yitzara. They're saying that you have to have balance. You have to know when you need to go easy, because that would be more productive, and when you need to be machmer. And no one really knows fully. You never know until you're in the moment, and you have to use great judgment. So let me conclude with a little melitza that Moshe answers Paro. He tells Paro, "V'noreinu uvizkeinenu nelech." We're going to go with our youth, and we're going to go with our elders, "V'voneinu uvinoseinu," with our sons and our daughters, "V'tzoneinu uvivkoreinu," and with our sheep and our cattle. You know, perhaps metaphorically, Moshe is talking about Avodas Hashem, and he's saying that we don't know what we're going to need, and we don't know what aspects of ourselves are we going to need. Are we going to need the strength of our youth? Are we going to need our wisdom of being an elder? Are we going to need our animalistic drives, our nefesh bahamis? What are we going to need in order to serve Hashem? We may need all of those things. And that's the message. Need to know basis. We're never going to know up until the moment that we're up to that Nisayon, quite possibly. And we have to use a lot of wisdom to figure out what to do. Now, I'm going to shut off the recording and also shut off the mute.